Luke, the 15th chapter. You're familiar with Luke, the 15th chapter. Actually, it's one parable with three parts to it. What you laughing at? You laughing at me? You laughing at me because I'm funny looking? She didn't get them. Did you dye your hair? Huh? That's mean, isn't it? I'm sorry. This parable has to do with lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Okay? I want to draw your attention to verse number 8. I want to talk to you a little bit about the lost coin. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, they say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let me pray. Father, it's been a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. And I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing now. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to think about this coin. This is just kind of an outline from this, and I won't go a lot of places with it tonight, but I want you to notice this woman lost a coin. Now, you remember when Jesus and Peter had a conversation about paying the taxes, and he held up a coin and said something about Caesar, rather said, render unto Caesar that was Caesar, and he said that go fishing and find a coin. If you pick up a coin, in fact, if you have a coin in your pocket, a quarter, more than likely there's a face on there, there's an image on there. Quarter has George Washington, I believe. And I don't see very many of those often now that I'm unemployed. No, just kidding. But a coin is stamped in the image of the maker, right? So this coin represents lost man who was, if you please, made in the image of God Almighty. That's what it pictures. And so she lost this coin. Now, there's a lot of things about being 10 coins and one left, but that's my purpose tonight. I just want you to think about that coin. And I want you to notice three parts of this verse number 8. It says that she doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. So I want you to underline that, light the candle and switch the light on. And then it says sweep the house. And then it says, seek diligence. Three things she had to do to find that coin. Number one, she had to switch the light on. Number two, she had to sweep the house clean. Number three, she had to seek diligently. Three kinds of little tips about how you win people to Christ and find people and win them to Jesus Christ. And I want to just spend a little bit of time with you on that subject. And I want you to think about some things. Look, if you would, please, over at Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And you're familiar with this verse, but look at verse number 14, 15 and 16. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I know you may not see how this relates, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And look, if you would please, at chapter number 3 and verse number 14 and 15. Now you won't see how they relate, but I want to share with you in just a minute what it means. All right? Verse number 14 of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Verse 14 and 15, 2 Timothy 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a holy child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting that he was admonished to study the scriptures, for they were, it says, able to give wisdom and knowledge of salvation. What scriptures is he talking about? Old Testament or New Testament? The Old Testament. New Testament hadn't been put together yet. It had been being written, but it had not been canonized, had not been put into a book. So what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, you study the Old Testament scriptures, and in there you're going to find out about salvation, understand what salvation is all about. We're talking about New Testament salvation. All right. Now, I want to pick up this thing about switching the light on in just a minute, okay? Now, I want you to take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Follow with me now, would you please? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, I'm going too far. Hang on, 2 Corinthians 5. And look, if you would, please, at verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Verse 17. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Now, I was thinking about this one time, about how does the Old Testament teach salvation? What is he talking about? Where would I turn to the Scriptures to find salvation? How would I understand it? Well, it says here that we're new creatures. The root word for the word creature is where we get our word creation. The real fact is, when you got saved and God regenerated you and redeemed you and rebirthed you and made you a new creature in Christ, you are a new creature in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a new person. Now, so you got to thinking about that, and you got to think, well, wait a minute. How does that relate? Does it relate at all to the Old Testament? Well, let's find out. Let's go over to Genesis, first chapter, and let's see if we can see something here. Now, I don't believe in a gap theory, preacher, so relax, okay? A lot of times, when you start teaching about salvation, you go to Genesis 1, they get a little antsy about the gap theory. Now, I believe this. I'm not going to teach everything on this that I would, because I don't have time and don't believe it's of the Lord. I think you can take Genesis, the first chapter, and you can study all the phases of creation all the way to the sixth day where Adam is created and man is a lump of clay and God breathes into him the breath of life. You can see the steps, if you please, not of salvation, no steps of salvation, faith in Christ. But there are things that God does in the heart of a man to bring him to Christ. You know, we'll see that in a minute. One of them, you know, like it says in the first day, he separated the firmaments. Well, what happened? I'll give you an illustration. When I was under conviction before I got saved, I'd say, well, who is God? Where is God? Is there heaven? Is there earth? What's God doing? He's separating the firmament. See, the earthly and the heavenlies. See, now, but I'm going to get into that. It says here that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, look at it. Verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And, he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, our water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, watch this. In order to be in the beginning of something, you got to be before the beginning. You understand that? Before you can be in the beginning of something, you got to be before the beginning. Well, first thing I want you to know, salvation starts with God. Then start with you and I. God is the one who came up with salvation. God's the one who gave us salvation. God did everything about salvation. God had salvation planned before the foundation of the earth. All right? So, therefore, in the beginning, God. Now, it says here, as he created heavens and earth, like he created man. It says that the earth here, look what it says. It says here, earth was without form. That word form is the same word for chaos and confusion. All right? Now, remember, there's no light there. The earth is now a blob, darkness is upon the face of the deep. There's no light, and it's without form. It's in chaos and confusion. There's no order to it yet. Now, then God says that it was not only without form, but it says void. That means it was empty. There wasn't any tree. There weren't any trees. There weren't any life. There weren't any living form of anything. It was empty. Then it says that there was darkness. All right. Then it says the Spirit of God moved. Or the word there means brooded upon. Now here's what happened. See, before I got saved, I was living in darkness. And guess what? My life was in chaos and confusion. But I couldn't see it. See? And my life was empty. Now, how many of you ever been, or some of you ladies ever been in a bedroom where a bunch of 10, 11-year-old girls had a pajama party or a slumber party? Have you ever been in one? Now, I can tell you what it looks like. You open the door, and it looks like an explosion in a junkyard. I mean, there's house coats and slippers and Bibles and banana peelings and chips and popcorn and pillows and sleeping bags, and it just looks like an absolute disaster. However, watch this. Let's say that I take you by the hand into that room, and you're blindfolded, and I turn all the lights off, and I say, stand right here. Okay, now you're in that room. It's pitch dark. And I say, and I take the blindfold, and I say, look at this mess. And you look around and say, I don't see any mess. You can't see that mess? No, I can't see that mess. What mess? Well, it's kind of hard to see. It's dark, isn't it? But let's say somebody outside of the hallway turns the hallway light on, a little light comes underneath the door. Woo, what's that? Wow, what is that down there? Is that slippers? Yeah, it's really hard to tell. But then say somebody opens the door and lets a little more light. You say, oh my goodness, this, what is all that stuff? And then they flip the light on and say, good night, this place is a mess. Amen?
Right.
Now, you know what happens? Men, women, boys and girls are lost. They live in darkness. Their lives are full of chaos and confusion, but they can't see it. Now God says then, the Spirit of God begins to brood, and God said, let there be light. Now who's the light of the world? Jesus. And the Bible says that we are body, soul, and spirit, and our spirit is a candle. And it says when you get saved, Jesus lights that candle. And you become the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and you're the light of the world. What do you mean? He comes in, and he becomes the light of your spirit, and he makes you the light of the world. All right? So guess what? Here you are. Here's two young ladies. They're sisters. They live in this home, and they're not Christians. And you come by, and they're living in darkness, and they're just living their life, and they don't know about Christ. And you knock on their door, and they say, we're not interested. But you lit a little light on the crack of their door of their life. You let a little light in. See? Now here's what our problem is. Many times that's all we do. But you know, we need to go back because why? The Bible says that let there be light. So you know what happened to me? I don't believe salvation has come this to everybody like it did me, but I think the principles are true. When I was a young man working in the factory, people come by and witness to me. I'd cuss them out. Leave them alone. I don't want nothing to do that. Well, when they do that, they brought God, if you please, into my mind. See, when I give a track out, I say, why don't you read this, tell you to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? Hey, the alternative's not too good. You know what I did? I left him right there with a thought of heaven and hell. The alternative's not too good, is it? I want them to know when I leave, they have an alternative. They can go to heaven or hell, see? Now, so what I do, I'm trying to let light into their world. So what happened? They'd witness to me and I'd run them off. They'd witness to me, and every time they'd witness to me, guess what happened? God was letting more light into my life. And then when Bill Van Buren, I think the catalyst for my salvation was Bill Van Buren, he backed me up against a steel beam at Ford's, and he put his nose almost against mine, and he pointed his finger and said, Fred Schindler, don't you know that God loves you and Christ died for you, and you're going to die and go to hell, and God wants you to be saved? He had these tears running down his face. Good. It blew my mind. I just, you know, the boy and I walked away, and I said, good night, man. I started thinking, is there heaven? Is there hell? Is there a God?
Good.
Man, if there's a hell, I'm going there. Huh? And then other people start. And you know what? Every time, watch it, every time somebody come in my life, they switch the light on. See? And when that's why you need to keep witnessing. That's why you need to keep praying. That's why you need to tell your loved ones. I think I preached her, I'm not sure, a message on one of my points. I was just talking about lessons I learned in life. One was, you better make the winning of your loved ones a priority because nobody else is. You know, I got saved July 2nd, 1961, 44 years ago. 44 years ago. I got ordained 40 years ago. In the first 26 years of my life as a Christian, nobody, not one person, walked up to me and gave me a tract and witnessed to me. Not one person anywhere I went. Nobody knocked on my door. Nobody stopped me in the hallways of business establishment. Nobody stopped me in the supermarket. Nobody met me in the parking lot. Nobody put a track in my hand and witnessed to me. Not one time until 26 years later after I got saved. I was in Florida. My wife and I were going down to see our kids. And we stopped in a Wendy's restaurant. And we went in and there was an elderly couple, probably about 65 or 66. Standing there passing out tracks, and he gave me a track, and I looked at it. I couldn't believe it. I grabbed him, started hugging him. He's looking at me like, you know, what's all this? I told him, you're the first person in 26 years. Hey, what if I'd been your loved one? See? Somebody's got to turn the light on.
Amen.
Somebody has to turn the light on. We're afraid to turn the light on. You say, well, I'm afraid. I know this. If you're in a dark room and been in there a while, somebody turned the light on, it hurts. Oh, turn the light off. Oh, man. Woo-wee. And that's what's going to happen. But if you keep increasing the light, you know, as you go by and witness and talk to them, and guess what? They're going to get their eyes going to get accustomed to that light. Pretty soon, they're going to get a good look at their life and look around and say, hey, there's something wrong in my life. See? So God wants to turn the light on. And the way he does that is through you and I, who are the light of the world, taking the light. See, I know this. As a young Christian, I went to Belleville High School in Belleville, Michigan. In my sophomore year, Doyle Wise came to our school. Doyle Wise was a born-again Christian. Now, I didn't know what a born-again Christian was from a lizard. I'd never been in church, but one time I was 16 years old. I didn't know anything about him. But I know one thing, he carried a red Bible on his books. I know one thing, he's a friendly guy too. I want you to know another thing. Everybody liked him, appreciated him, but he wouldn't compromise. He didn't go where, he didn't talk like us, he didn't act like us. He was a good, solid young man. And I thought, that guy's a class act. So I had a horse and he had a horse. We used to meet and ride together. You know what? I saw him, but I saw him as a nightlight in the hallway. Nightlight in the hallway, that's just keep you from tripping and breaking your leg when you get up in the night, you know. If he'd have just turned to me on that horse and said, Fred, let me tell you something. You know you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven.
That's right.
If he'd have just switched the light on, there's a pretty good chance I'd have got saved when I was about 16 years old. See? But I don't know why we're afraid to turn the light on. Why are we so afraid to turn the light on? See? And what's happening, I'm telling you, it's happening in churches everywhere too. They're turning the light off. They're not the light of the world. They're inclusive. They're all trying to edify one another. And they're happy with what they have. And sinners, they're not interested anymore. They're not trying to be a beacon. They're not trying to be a light. They're not trying to be one on a set up on a hill. They're hiding their light. And they don't care if their light shines or not. And by the way, the light is the good works too. See? And I watched Doyle Wise. So something different about him. Something different about him. See? And I saw Christians. There was one girl named Lois that graduated with me. On senior skip day, she got drunk. She was supposed to be a Christian. I looked at her, I thought, man, that's disgusting. She's supposed to be a Christian. Now, I don't know what born again Christian. She just claimed to be a Christian. And I'll tell you something, boy, she just snuffed the light out. See? But if we're going to get people saved, we have to switch the light on. And everywhere you go, you're a light. Everywhere you go, you're a light in the darkness. You say, well, you know where I work. Yeah, the light shineth the brightest in the most dark place. When I was at Ford's and I got saved, you're talking about, I want to tell you something. Any of you here work in a factory, a motor, automotive plant? Hey, it's a nice place, isn't it? Just like working in heaven, isn't it? Oh, vulgar, isn't it? Wicked, ungodly, sensual, stupid, vile. People go. I used to think that people went in the factory, left all their decency in the car. I really did. And so on. But guess what? That's where the light shines the brightest. That's where I saw it the brightest. But people don't get saved until you turn the light on. And your life is the light. Your witness is the light. We're to tell people about Jesus, you see. And you keep on doing it. We give up too quick. I'm glad they didn't give up on me. I really am glad. I was a long time coming to salvation. Long time. And God sent light. By the way, God sends light. See, if you wait, let me ask you, how many of you right now, think about when you got saved, how many of you had somebody, since you got saved, give you a track and witness to you, just cold turkey, walk up to any in a factory, in a store, anybody here have that happen since you got saved? Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand real high so I can count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 people in this auditorium just gave you a witness that nobody gives a hoot about your soul. There ain't any Christians, there aren't any people out here that give one whit for your soul. How about you? How about you? If I don't win my mama, why don't you win my mama?
Good.
If I can't win my daddy, why don't you win my daddy? That's what the busman is all about, going out winning other people's families. But the real truth, they need the light. Switch the light on. Number two, we know it says sweep the house. You know what that means, don't you? Really, if you look at that word sweep, it has to do with the Greek word sark, S-A-R-K, I think is the way it's spelled. It has to do with cutting of the flesh. It's really talking about doing away with the works of the flesh. It's talking about separation. It's talking about living right. Sweep the house.
Amen.
Keep your heart right. See? And I think it could be the house, could be the church. You'd be a bit surprised how you can go to church, and we go to church, and I've been going to church, a lot of churches. I don't know how many churches I've gone to in my life. I'm going to tell you, there are churches that don't even have a visitation program.
Right.
There are a lot of churches that come to and never have a testimony of young people going out winning souls. See? But the real truth is, a lot of times we don't witness and we're not, if you please, spreading the light. And we have dirty hearts. We've got a dirty house. Dirty house. God can't use us. But it says a woman, she had a burden in her heart. She wanted to find that coin. So the first thing she said, I got to turn the light on. She said, I got to sweep. I got to clean up, man. I've got to get the house clean. I've got to get right with God. So we got to get our house cleaned up. Sweep the house clean. I'm amazed, I think, as I talk to Christians and preach and so on, and my own self. I have to look at my own self. How many Christians go week after week sometimes without getting right with God about things? Confessing sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Do you know how many Christians sometimes go weeks after week, sometimes months, without any heart searching? It should be moment by moment, shouldn't it? We should be, we lived in a house one time, and behind us, you could go out our sliding glass door of our house, step out in the yard, and look over here, and there was a man and a wife, and I think they had three kids that lived in that house. And if you were to go to their house and their back door was open, you could get about right here and you could smell the stench of the house. And about every 6 months, that guy would have to, he threw everything out in the front yard. He'd be scraping food off the floor and off the, he'd have to repaint the house because his lazy wife sitting on a couch in there wouldn't get up and clean the house and take care of the house. And guess what? About every 6 months, it was a major cleaning. You wonder what happened if she just get up every day and just clean the house. You know, if she just maybe once a week vacuum the floors, don't you think? And maybe just, wash the dishes once a day and wipe the table off after they got done eating. It sure be a whole lot easier to keep the house clean if they kind of kept it as they went along. Amen? And sometimes what's wrong with us is we sometimes go weeks and weeks and weeks without a real serious heart-searching confession of sin, sweeping the house. Sweeping the house, getting the house clean. See? So it says, turn the switch of light on, sweep the or clean the floor, and then it says, seek diligently. That means you go looking for them. That means you look at them as needing saved, and you seek them. See, the churches that I get into, like yours, have a bus ministry. Churches we have that I know about have soul winning, teen soul winning, visitation. Our church had a Reformers Unanimous and a Spanish ministry, seeing a rest home ministry, and a bus ministry, and a visitation ministry. All those what? They were diligently seeking lost people. And we in our individual life and our churches need to be constantly after sinners, going after them all the time, seeking diligently, seeking. And we go, we turn the light on. If we do that, the Bible says she found the lost coin and bore the joy. And she called her neighbors and friends. She's rejoiced for me, for the coin I've lost I've found. Then Jesus said, he said, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel of every lost sinner that's saved. You know what's happening in churches? They're losing their joy.
Right.
You know what's happening to Christians? They're losing their joy.
Right.
You know why? There's nothing to be joyous about. There's nothing to be joyous about. So I just want to encourage you tonight. Just turn the light on.
Amen.
Just turn the light on. Tomorrow when you're going to work, think about yourself as a big beacon of light coming in that place of darkness.
Hey.
Start looking for somebody to talk to. When I got saved, I didn't know much about it. And I had to learn an awful lot. But I remember one time there was a guy, he was a He was a biracial fellow back in the time when biracial, I'm talking about half black and half white, a mulatto or biracial. And we didn't see a lot of biracial people back in the early 60s and so on. But this guy was a bruiser looking man. He's just strong looking and everything. And name was Fred Lett. And he hired in for the summer in our department. I got to know him. And he was an Olympic wrestler. He's going to the Olympics. He's going to be a wrestler in the Olympics. And I got to talking to Fred. And standing in the washroom, after we'd washed our hands and everything, and stood there and talked, I led him to Christ. See? But here he was. He was in that plant. He was lost. He's in darkness. And it didn't take much to tell him about Jesus. Didn't tell him much about how to be saved. See? So I want to challenge you. Won't you let your light shine tomorrow? Won't you let your light shine? They see you, and they're watching you anyway. They know there's something different about you if you're trying to live for God. But we need to, maybe there's somebody here tonight. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you had a real good, long talk with God about your life? Confessed your sins and got your life cleaned up. It's easy to lose your zeal for God. Get your life full of unconfessed sin. Sweep the house. You know what a revival is in a church? It's when the house gets swept.
Amen.
See? And then start seeking. What we do, does it happen to you what happens to me sometimes? You kind of become an accidental Christian soul winner instead of on purpose soul winner. You just almost have to have a guy fall in your lap and say, would you tell me how to get saved before you win somebody? It's almost like they have to bring it up. It's almost like you're waiting for them to come up and say, sir, are you a Christian? Can you tell me how to go to heaven? I've only had that happen to me, I don't think, in 44 years being saved, maybe once or twice, if I can, and I'm not even sure if I can think of them. No, they're looking for. And God's looking for somebody who switched the light on. Let's stand our feet and bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, I pray that God, that you challenge our hearts about this matter. And I pray that tonight, that perhaps there's some here will just make up their mind. They're going to switch the light on. And maybe there's some who just need to sweep the house clean and then begin to seek diligently again. And I pray that you'd help us and speak to us.